This morning, however, we're going to continue in our series, Lean. So if this is your first time here, or maybe you haven't been with us for a while, what we've been doing as we're going through this series is talking about why it's so important that we learn to lean on Jesus as we go through life. You see, leaning on Jesus means that we are learning to trust in God with all of our heart. It means that we trust Him completely with everything. It also means that we're not leaning on our own understanding. We're not confiding in ourselves to be the know-all of everything that's going on in our lives, but that we're acknowledging God, and we acknowledge that He has authority over our lives, and that we trust that in all our endeavors that He will keep His promise to make our paths straight. Not easy, but straight. See, when trouble strikes, a lot of times I think we can sometimes forget our knowledge of God, that we know the Creator. I think sometimes we can struggle to recall past answers to prayer when we're in the midst of a real struggle in life. I think sometimes we can forget to how we've had specific guidance provided by the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we can fail to recall the lessons that we've learned in previous crises. And only the present, only this right now time seems to even be real. The past seems to be like a forgotten dream. Our minds spin with future implications and troubled emotions prohibit clear thinking. You see, in our own strength, when we're relying on self, we lack sufficient resources and abilities to even face life's greatest challenges. So God, in all of His wisdom and all of His grace and all of His mercy, provides exactly what we need. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I hope you do too. Our suffering is never, never a surprise to God. It's not. He knows everything we're going through. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to take some time and I want us to fix our attention on Jesus Christ. And I want us to seek to understand why He wants us to learn to lean on Him whenever we're going through some of life's darkest moments. Now, in this series, we're going to talk a lot about the same kind of things, all right? This week, what I want us to focus on is this. If we're leaning on Jesus, then fear is unnecessary. Last week, we talked about worry. This week, we're going to talk about fear. Fear is unnecessary if we're leaning on Jesus. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 23. It's right in the middle of a story. It's right in the middle of all these things that are going on. We're going to jump in there. We're going to read these verses here, and then we're going to talk about them, okay? So Matthew 8, verse 23. I'll get it right here in a minute. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Now, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one somewhere around you. Use that one. If you don't own a Bible, put your name in that one. We want you to take that home and let that be our gift to you. Just try and get in it sometime today. Matthew chapter 8. So if you're in 28, flip back to 8, verse 23. And yes, we're jumping right in the middle of this story. But then Jesus got into the boat and His disciples followed Him. And suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Some of you know this story. You've heard it when you were a little kid. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke Him and they said, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And this is His reply. "You of little faith. Why? Why are you so afraid? What do you have to be afraid of? Why are you afraid?" Then He got up and He rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him." Why are you so afraid? Fear, like worry, and we spent time last week talking about this, so I won't rehearse it all again, but fear, like worry, is a sin. And the reason it's a sin is because it causes us to take our eyes off Jesus. And we talked about all this last week. The word afraid is the Greek word delos, and it means pertaining to being cowardly. Now, let me just say this. If you know the creator of the universe and you have a personal relationship with him, what in the world do you have to be afraid of? Why should fear paralyze you like it did the disciples? Christ wants none of that for us. God does not want us to be a people, his people, who live in fear of anything that's going on around us. One who always, so we need to keep that in mind, because if we're leaning on Jesus, fear is unnecessary. See, Jesus was sleeping in the boat. The disciples were the ones that were afraid. They ran down, they woke him up. "We're going to drown." And his response, I mean, it strikes me. He rebuked the disciples. He said, "You have a lack of faith. Your faith is so small." I know this isn't popular. We don't want to hear that fear could be because we have a lack of faith, but this is exactly what our Lord and Savior is telling us. You have a lack of faith. You have fear. And then he rebuked the storm. He rebuked his disciples first, then he rebuked the storm. And immediately the lake was calm. But do you think that the disciples were calm immediately? They were amazed, which is a good thing. Now listen, if you were in a boat in the middle of a big storm, it might seem like the only natural response would be afraid. But when we become followers of Christ, we're not called to live according to this natural world. We're not. We have a supernatural relationship with a supernatural God. And because of him, we don't need to respond with natural emotions. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that. It's difficult. It's something we learn to do over time as we learn to lean on Jesus. Learn to trust in God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Loving him, committing to him totally. Not leaning on your own understanding, but acknowledging him in all ways. And then he makes the path straight. Not easy, but straight. Doesn't mean there won't be waves pop up. Doesn't mean there won't be squalls jump up and scare you. But we don't have to live in fear. No way. It's not what God desires for us, his children. Jesus didn't give his disciples a pass and say, "Hey, fellas, it's okay. You can be afraid." That's not what he did. He expected more of them. And he expects more of his disciples, you and me. Listen, if he is Lord of your life, then he is Lord. And there's nothing to fear, not even fear itself. Does our fear, I'm just asking the question, just something for you to ponder and wrestle with, does our fear signal that we doubt his power and his might? Just let that one soak in. Just think on that. Just wrestle with that. Does it say that we have a weak faith? Is our faith getting stronger? That seems to be what Jesus is implying in this passage. You're afraid. Why? Where's your faith? But what's so cool, so Jesus-like, is even though Jesus rebuked his disciples, he rebuked the storm, he exercised great mercy and compassion and love and concern for his disciples. And he calmed the storm that was causing the fear. And he can do that for us. He can calm the storm that causes the fear. It's just like a Jesus thing to do. He urges us to go higher and deeper in our spiritual relationship with Him. He doesn't want us to stay the same. As we journey through this world, through this life, He wants us to become closer to Him, to have a more intimate relationship with Him. And all the while, He completely understands our human frailty and our weaknesses. It's like two sides of a coin. His mighty power and His gentleness are not opposites. They're equal parts of His perfect nature. It's His kindness and His gentleness that I hope you will allow to spur you on to trust Him more and more. I hope that will allow you to acknowledge Him and to love Him more and more, to surrender your life more fully to Him. It's His mighty power that does the heavy lifting of changing our lives. And in my case, He's got a lot of heavy lifting to do, not my size, my faith. A lot of heavy lifting to do. We all already know that there are going to be storms that are just going to pop up in our lives. We're going to have them. We have that guarantee. Being a Christ follower doesn't mean sunny skies every day. It doesn't mean flowers blooming. It doesn't mean birds are singing all the time. What it means is that when the torrential downpours of life, when the thunder of life claps at deafening decibels, when the puddles are deep enough to drown in, and when the waves of life start crashing in all around us, that we can have peace. We can have peace if you lean on Jesus. That's our passage. That's what I've been encouraging you guys to commit to memory through this whole series, that Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It's a simple passage. It's simple to memorize. It's simple to understand. It's hard to apply a lot of times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What a great promise. Listen, if we're leaning on Jesus, fear is unnecessary. Here's what we can learn from this story, this event that took place in Jesus' life. First of all, I think we learn this. Our security isn't rooted in our circumstances, but in Christ. Just think about it. Our security, our peace of mind, our peace of going through life day in and day out, that's not rooted in the circumstances of life that are going on all around you. It's rooted in Christ. Life's not a 50-yard dash. It's not even a marathon. It's more like a journey. And I want us all to make it to the finish line. The only way to do that is to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, not our circumstances. The writer of Hebrews said, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he said, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." What a great description of what it is to lean on Jesus, to have our peace rooted in Him. What this is saying is that we have to, in order to be able to endure the unendurable, we must see the invisible, Jesus. We got to keep our focus on Him. A professor of mine, when I was at Lincoln, Chuck Sackett, used to share an illustration that I believe totally nails this. Do you remember the little nursery rhyme, "Pussycat, Pussycat"? Remember that one? It goes like this. If you don't remember it, here's how it goes. It goes, "Pussycat, Pussycat, where have you been?" The response is, "Well, I've been to London to see the Queen." "Pussycat, Pussycat, what did you see there?" "I saw a mouse under the chair." Does that describe us at all? How often should we be looking at the King and all we see are the things under His throne? Maybe they're things that frighten us. Maybe they are things that distract us. Maybe they're things that pleasure us. But our focus needs to be on Christ. We need to keep our eyes on the King, or we'll get distracted by the mice under the chair. We need to keep our mind off our circumstances, our problems. We need to focus on God's goodness, on His gentleness, on His mercy. We need to realize how faithful He's been in our past. We need to understand that His closeness to us in our present and His power to help us in our future. That's what we need to focus on. We need to do what another fisherman did. Jonah, probably the greatest fisherman ever, caught the biggest catch I ever saw. Used himself as bait. But Jonah, when he was swallowed by the great fish, he sat in the belly of that great fish and he prayed. That's what he did. His circumstances were not at all what he wanted. But he knew that his security wasn't based on his circumstances. Listen to what Jonah prayed in Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. He said, "When my life was slipping away, I remembered God." No matter what's going on around us, do like Jonah. Remember God. He's bigger than anything you'll encounter. The Apostle Paul's circumstances weren't as he desired either. We talked about this last week, but I think we need to bring it up again this week. Paul was in prison awaiting execution, and he wrote these words, "Rejoice!" I'll say it again, rejoice! Really, Paul? Look at your circumstances. It's cold, it's dark, it's wet, it's damp, it stinks, you're dying, you're going to die, people don't like you. Rejoice! Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And this is my favorite part of this. Listen, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Do you know what it does? It guards your heart. And it guards your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a protection over your heart. It's a protection over your mind when you learn to lean on Jesus. When you learn to trust God with all your heart, your mind and your heart will be guarded. If you find yourself at a point where you've lost hope and you're allowing your circumstances of life to overtake your thoughts, to bring you to the point of being afraid, living in fear, remember this. Remember that you can turn your focus from the circumstances. Not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not pretending it's easy. But you can turn your focus from the circumstances that are surrounding you. And you can start to focus on Christ. Listen, this is precisely what Jesus is telling His disciples. It's not easy. But following Jesus is never a promise of an easy life. It's the promise and it's the call to a faithful life. And we can be faithful during the storms of life when we focus on Christ. When we lean on Jesus, fear is unnecessary. Something else we learn from this event is this. Familiarity can cause us to have a lack of faith, which in turn invites fear. Familiarity can cause us to have a lack of faith, which in turn invites fear. Now, these disciples, or at least some of them, I'd say most of them, were probably very familiar with the sea. And they were very familiar with boats. And they were, like us, very familiar with nighttime. It happens every night. So they were familiar with boats, the sea, and night. Because they were fishermen. And fishermen fished at night. On the sea, in a boat. So they were familiar with all this. They were very familiar with their surroundings. I would say they were relaxed in their surroundings, confident even in their surroundings. They were even familiar with storms, even storms on the Sea of Galilee. Storms pop up on the Sea of Galilee all the time, unexpectedly. So why were they afraid? If you're so familiar with that, why were you afraid? All this is true, but see, here's what happened. Storms, and this is evening time, storms don't usually pop up at night. Not usually. The reason for squalls to pop up so randomly and so unexpectedly on the Sea of Galilee is all this hot desert air comes rushing over these mountains. It's still hot, and it mixes with that cooler air on the sea. Boom, there's a storm. Just pops up. But this is nighttime. If you've ever been in the desert at night, it's not hot. It's chilly. It's cold. Cool air mixing with cool air usually doesn't create a storm. So as I was reading about this, I was like, so why is this happening now? Some scholars, and I agree, say, well, this was a supernatural storm. This could have been a supernatural storm. And I'm like, yeah, I can get on board with that, 100%. He is God of the universe, you know. He can cause things to happen. So why would this supernatural storm pop up? Maybe it's to remind the disciples that he is Lord over nature. You remember a couple of weeks ago, or no, last week I think it was, we talked about how when sin entered into the world, there were several relationships that were severed. We said the relationship between God and man was severed, and the relationship between man and man was severed, and that's why we can argue, fuss, and fight and not look very attractive sometimes to a world that's trying to find Jesus. And we said that the relationship between man and self, you know, it's why we have worry. It's why all this stuff comes into our lives. That had severed. Well, the other relationship was the relationship between man and nature. That was severed forever when sin entered into the world. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. If you'll turn there, follow along with me. Listen, to Adam, God said this. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife. Now, I could go all day on that one, but I'm not going to. And if you're smart, you won't either. All right? But because you listened to your wife, and you ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground, the nature. All this that I've created for you, it's cursed because of what you did, Adam. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you'll eat the plants of the field. Now listen to this. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. You hear what he's saying? You're going to have to work it. Now, Adam had to work before the fall. Scripture tells us that. He worked before the fall. But now, it's a toil. It's a labor. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. There is a division, a separation in this relationship between man and nature. Calming the storm, I believe, is a clear demonstration of Jesus proclaiming his power over nature. And if we're going to claim him, listen, if we're going to claim him, if these disciples were going to claim him as their personal Lord and Savior, having the power to forgive sins, having the power, as Chad explained to us, to pay for our ransom, having the power to establish an eternal relationship between us and God Almighty, if we're going to trust him in that, then can't we trust him as Lord over nature? Can't we trust him as Lord over the storms of our life? Jesus asked him point blank, guys, what are you so afraid of? And maybe Jesus is thinking, or maybe he said this, it's not recorded in the scriptures, but maybe he was thinking this. Maybe he thought this, why are you so afraid? Am I not the one who called you to come to me? Why are you so afraid? Am I not the one who invited you to get into the boat? Why are you so afraid? Am I not the one who instructed you where to go? Why? Why are you so afraid? Am I not the one who started this whole mission itself? If so, which I am, then why are you so afraid? Why is your faith so small? Can you relate to this at all in any area of your life? I mean, if Jesus has called you, if he's invited you into his boat, if he's setting the course and storms pop up, why are we afraid? Why do we cower? I mean, we pay lip service sometimes, I think, to Jesus, saying that he is Lord of our lives, but do we really have the faith to let him be the Lord of our lives? He's called us. He's invited us. He's instructed us. Why are we afraid? I believe it's because we've become so familiar with our surroundings. We're so comfortable in our daily routines that we forget about God. We leave him out. And we start to lean on our own understanding. We don't acknowledge him, and our faith starts to wane, and fear can grow when storms of life pop up unexpectedly. You see, the disciples' lack of faith revealed that they had no idea that they were with the Lord over nature. They were with the Lord of the universe. Listen, even though our God is a God of order, he can work in unpredictable ways. His workings, and let's not forget that he is able to do more than we could ever expect. Now, I'm sure most of us have been taught that he's able, but do we really believe it? That's the defining point. Do you really believe what you say you believe? I admit, when I'm in a bad place, I can be guilty of looking first at the known facts of my familiar surroundings. And I try to use my own understanding, try to use what's familiar to me. And all I end up doing is forming a faithless perspective. And then, sometimes, hopefully most of the time, I turn to the real source of all truth. I don't want to be overly familiar with this world and its deceiving answers. I'm not of this world, neither are you if you know Christ. We're strangers and aliens of this world. And so if faith pleases God, which we know it does, how very pleased will he be if we forget about what is our familiar, the stuff on this earth, and preoccupy ourselves in becoming familiar with him. Now, I'm not saying comfortable with him. We still need to have the fear of the Lord. It's the only fear we should have. Fear God. Reverence God. Respect him. A faith-filled perspective should be our first and hopefully continual outlook on life. We'll see God working in new and powerful ways. Therefore, I don't know about you, but I want to be preoccupied with knowing God, with pursuing God. This world will never have true and just answers outside of its creator and king. It just won't. And I never want to be more familiar with my circumstances than I am with the presence of God. I want to always pursue Jesus. That's what I want. If I want something, then I have to do it. So I have to daily pursue Jesus. I have to pursue him and become more familiar with his ways than the ways of this world. I want to spend more time with him to the point that I'm completely aware of his voice that speaks into my life and not the voice of fear that tries to shout him down. I want to be familiar with his grace, his power, his goodness, and allow that to reign in my life. Because when I do that, I'm going to recognize that he's bigger than any circumstance. You see, the familiar, I believe, is oftentimes the enemy of faith. May God be so well known, and may we fear him, that we want to draw closer to him. When I lean on Jesus, fear of my surroundings and circumstances is unnecessary, because I trust that he can calm the storms of life. Something else Jesus wants us to learn in this, I believe, is this. He wants us to respond in faith, not react in fear. Respond in faith, don't react in fear. So to live this kind of victorious lifestyle, we have to be prepared. There's preparation. When soldiers go on patrol, they go out prepared. They think through all the different situations that they might encounter, not fearfully, but in order to be prepared to handle whatever comes their way. As a follower of Jesus, he wants us to be prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and he has provided that for us. He wants us to respond in faith, not react in fear. And the way we do this is to, first of all, have a mind that is focused on Christ. Can't talk about this without talking about that. That means we need to be transformed. We need to put new stuff in our mind. We need to take the old fear of the world and take it out. Take it out with the trash. Just get rid of it. And we need to have new stuff going into our mind. And you got to be careful about what you're putting up here, because what you put up here will be lived out through here over time. So put the right stuff in here. And this is something that we have to do daily. We have to focus on this every day. Being transformed by God's word is one of the things we have to do. So we have to be in God's word each and every day. If your only time of being in God's word is on Sunday morning, you're malnourished. You really are. Your faith is weak. If nobody's ever told you that, shame on them. But if you're not in God's word consistently, your faith is not going to grow. When you don't exercise, you get weak. It was amazing. I'll just share this with you real quick. When I had knee surgery on my right knee a couple of months ago, 3 days is all I was down. I was on the couch. Well, no, I was down, 5 days. I was down. Leg up, couldn't move, all that stuff, you know. I was so surprised how in 5 days of not using this leg, how small it had gotten. One of the muscles wasn't even, not that I have big muscles, but one of the muscles was like almost gone. Couldn't even see it. That's what happens to our faith, folks, when we don't exercise it. It deflates. It gets weak. We have to be in God's word daily. No shortcut. If you want a strong faith, get in his word. And also do one other thing. Pray. You have direct access. You don't need anybody interceding on your behalf. You have a direct line to God. It's called prayer. You can talk to him. You can listen to him. Let him encourage you as you go through life. Confide in him. Talk to him. Wrestle it. If you're doubting something, tell him. He already knows you are anyway. He just wants you to depend on him, rely on him. There's no shortcut. You got to be in his word. You got to be praying to him on a daily basis. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want your faith to grow, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And talking with God in prayer daily. David, King David, like you and me, he experienced times of fear. In Psalm 56:3, he reveals how he handles that. He said this, real plain and simple, when I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. That's exactly what Proverbs 3:5-6 is all about. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, no matter what's going on. Every day I'm trusting. There's nothing new in my saying this. This is nothing new. I've said this hundreds of times from right here, and I'll say it hundreds of times more, because we must be in God's word, and we must be praying every day if we are going to grow in our faith to the point that no matter what storm pops up, we can respond faithfully and not in fear. And I think that's what we'd all like in our lives. But we have to be grounded in the word, and we have to communicate with God on a daily basis. And God's word, it needs to be prayerfully in our minds so that when storms of life do pop up, when unsavory situations happen, we can recall it and we can call out to him. When you're under spiritual attack, use it to put Satan and his minions in their place in the name of Jesus. Not in your name. You don't have the power to do that. So it's not our power that does that. It's the power of God's word. And when your emotional state is teetering, listen, you can find peace. You can find peace in the word of God and going to him in prayer. But if you're not in his word and you're not praying every day, this will not happen, and you'll live life reacting to fear instead of responding in faith. Carol Kent says, and tame your fears. God is kind and understanding toward our weaknesses, but he requires us to go forward in faith. And the Bible is clear that faith does not mature and strengthen without trials. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this in James 1. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of our faith, of your faith, produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Don't you want to be mature and complete in your spiritual journey with Jesus? I do. It's a journey. We're striving towards that, not lacking anything. And adversity is perhaps God's most effective tool to develop a strong faith. That pattern is evident, I believe, all throughout Scripture. God takes each one of us through fearful situations. And as we learn to obey God's word, as we allow his word to saturate our thoughts, we find each trial becomes a stepping stone to a stronger and a deeper faith. It gives us the ability to say, he sustained me in the past. I trust that he will carry me through today, and I know without a doubt that he will uphold me in the future. God worked this way in King David's life. When David volunteered to go fight Goliath, remember that story, right? Remember that? He said this. He said, I don't fear. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He went in with a confidence. See, when we're afraid, we're giving in to cowardice. But when we have faith, we can have a confidence. We need more confident Christians. We just do. We need people who are not afraid to stand up for what they believe. We need people proclaiming the Word of God. But you got to know the Word of God before you can proclaim the Word of God. So you got to be in His Word every day. It comes all back. David knew the God who had sustained him through dangerous situations in the past. He had seen and experienced God's power and protection in his life. And this developed within him a fearless faith. That's what Jesus wanted for these disciples in the boat that were with him during this storm. And guess what? This is what Jesus wants for you and me, for his disciples as we go through life and encounter storms. Just imagine for a moment, okay? You can close your eyes if you want. I don't care. Just imagine. Just put yourself in a frame of mind where you can start daydreaming, okay? I want you to daydream. Let's have some fun, all right? Just imagine for a moment your life with no fear. Nothing to fear. Not even fear itself. Imagine that kind of life. Imagine your life where you get up every day and you totally trust God with all your heart. Can you imagine that kind of life? Where you trust Him to take care of the big things, the little things, and all things in between. Can you imagine that? Imagine being in God's Word. Here's how you can have that kind of life. Imagine what your life would look like if you would spend time in God's Word every day. Not just when you feel like it, but every day being in God's Word. Imagine your mind being so transformed and your life being so transformed by allowing the Word of God to take root in your life, by communicating with the Creator of the universe every day, that your entire outlook changed. Can you imagine having that kind of transformed mind and life? For some of us, this is way beyond anything we could ever imagine. Imagine it. It can happen. Imagine your life where you're more familiar with God than you are with the circumstances going on around you. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Fear is unnecessary when we lean on Jesus.